Morning, good morning, everyone. I hope you're well. Good to see a few of you up and at it already. Fantastic to have you here. Thanks for joining. Yeah, been out and about for a couple of days, folks. So the regular time for Wealth Coffee Chats has been on pause, but I hope you haven't missed me too much. But I was hanging out with, like I said yesterday, hanging out with a bunch of business owner property investors since Thursday. And we were hanging around talking about property investing, go figure, and many other things, creating wealth using their businesses. So we had a good time. Some of you were there. And yeah, it was awesome. But back at it today, folks, and the Wealth Coffee Chats is going to get a bit of a improvement, maybe a uplift, maybe a bit of acceleration in the coming days and weeks. Going to start bringing some guests in for some Wealth Coffee Chats. I think that's going to be fun. And you guys might learn more from certain specialist people might be coming along and doing a little something. But today we're going to do what we always do is do the intros, say hello, whatever it might be. And we're going to talk about the idea of how do we keep buying investment properties? How do we keep going, folks? What is the trick? What is the, is there any tips? Is there any tips to this stuff? The answer is yes. But you got to know what, when, where, how, and don't over-expect or under-expect. But we'll get to that in a minute. But great to see a bunch of you on now. Jason Whitten is my name, if you didn't already know. Most of you would know that, I think. But if you're new, if you're one of our clients coming and joining from our coaching and mentoring programs, or you're just dropping by, say hello in the chat. Let us know if you're there. There's a few of you on now. Brad saying a bit of a hello. How are you, Brad? Good to see you, mate. Yeah, let us know what's going on for you. Well, let's get on with today and talk about the idea of how do we continue to invest, build our property portfolio over time, folks. What happens? What do we need to do when it comes to the idea of buying an investment property? In very basic, simple terms, there are two pieces to this puzzle, this pie, this whatever we're talking about when it comes to continuing to purchase and grow our property portfolio. What are they? Put this in the chat if you're there and you want to play along at home. It starts with I and it starts with D. There's two pieces, two big pieces to this puzzle. If you want to purchase an investment property, you're going to need some of this and you're going to need some of this. What is it? In the world of finance and lending, all sorts of different terms float around. But what's the I stand for? What's the D stand for? Put that in the chat if you're there. Maybe have a little play along at home. But, you know, what's the I? The I, folks, is you need some income. Somewhere, that's it, Brad. Somewhere, somehow, some whatever. Yeah. Or income and debt, Sharon. Income and debt. Well, the D, well, the income plus what we need next is something else as well. So income, first piece of the puzzle. It's very difficult. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult to borrow money for an investment property if you don't have an income, if you don't have something to show for the banks, the lenders, the financiers, if you don't have something to show that you're a good bet, you're a good bet, right, as you go along. Now, some of you are diving into the next piece, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You need some income, and you also need a deposit. You need to put some money down, all right? Yep, you need to put some money down. Now, a bunch of you are jumping into the next part of this, and we'll break this down because it's not as simple as this, right? So you need some income, you need a deposit. If you got the right income, let's say the bank says, yep, yeah, all right, you got the right income and you got some money for a deposit, then tick, you can buy an investment property. Now, fantastic, wonderful. Let's get on with it. Let's go, team, let's go. But the plan for us, folks, isn't it? The plan for us is to not only buy one property, but buy two or three or four or five. And tell me, what happens? For most of us, we get excited. Let's say you wake up and you go, I want to give this a red hot shot. I want to give this a red hot shot, Jace, coach. And in the first 1 to 3 years, you're fully loaded. You're fully loaded with your income. You're fully loaded with your deposit. You're fully loaded with your energy and excitement. And you come out of the gates like a firecracker, like a crazy bull, whatever you want to call it, whatever the thing is, and you get on with it. You go, let's go. And what can happen quite quickly in that first, 1 to 2 to 3 years, you can get a couple of investment properties under your belt, all right? Anyone ever started yet? There you go, Jeff. Jeff's talking about it already. We start strong in this because, often, we've got some built-up capacity, some built-up financial ability to crack on. And, it might be one, it might be two, but often it's between, you've got your home, one or two investment properties to kick off, and then there's some waiting time. Then there's some time might happen, there's some waiting time and you're trying to get through to the next level. You want to get through to the next property, the third and the fourth and the fifth, and it becomes a little bit of a waiting game. But should we always wait around and not pay attention? If we want to get through to this next level, well, then how do we do it? What do we need to crack through and do? So let's dive into that on the income side and the deposit side for our next investment property. Now, a bunch of you are already diving in there in the chat, which is awesome. So what things can we increase on the income side? So this is let's call it a trick question, but it's not. What can we increase and what can we decrease over here in the world of net income, income we use to show the banks that we can afford this next deal? What can we increase, team? Put it in the chat, whack it in there for me. What can you increase or, declare or use? Increase, declare, use, whatever it is. Away you go. You absolutely can, Jeff. So let's have a look. You can get your, you can get your tax back, and that makes sure you get your depreciation. For many of us, we're not using our depreciation, our tax back well. You can get your rents up, folks. When was the last time you reviewed your rents and got the rents up? Now, we all know that rents can take time to go up. The market might move. The market moves every day, every week, every month, every year. But the challenge with you and me is that often our properties, folks, can only reset the rents every maybe 6 or 12 months, depending on the cycle. You can get your incomes up, your PAYG, your income. Your income, PAYG, your profits if you're in business, etc. Okay, so your income up, get your rent up, get your tax back and other things as you go. So get the income up, folks. Get the income up. Now, what can we reduce that has, a reasonable effect? What can we reduce that has a reasonable effect to your income? It helps your income. What can we do? Well, you can get your expenses down. And what are some of the big expenses in that space? Now, the biggest expense, interest rates. Now, for some of us, we might be able to get our interest rates down in one way, shape, or form. Interest rates down, right? Interest rates down as we go along. What else can help interest rates? And this is a little tricky one when it comes to income and those sorts of things. Interest rates down, that not only the interest rate, but the term of the loan, increase the loan back to 30 years. What else can you do with interest rates? You can do interest only instead of principal and interest, When it comes to your finance, we can mess around. the income, your above the line stuff, get your income up, your rents up, get your tax back, et cetera, et cetera. Fantastic. As we go, but you know, down here, interest rates, reduce some of your expenses, your life expenses. Now, often your cost of living these days now is not that impactful on your income, but yes, sharpen up your budget a little. Kev, you're dead right, Kev. I was having a chat to one of our clients the other day, and it's like, I'm stuck. And I want to get my next deal. And we were doing the strategy. And guess what? As soon as his kid, which is this year, finishes high school, turns 18, then voila, that now becomes a benefit on the income side. Okay? Yeah, they're expensive, aren't they, kids? Yep. We always say this to young couples when they're together. And it's all right, get some borrowing done before you have the children, because the children tend to put a financial slowdown on things. And then later on, you can crack that, let's say, when you might have two back at work again or something like that. But interest rates, get them, sort out your interest rates. One of the things that we can sort out here when introducing our expenses, folks, that's right. You know, have a look at when your kids initially aren't accounted for. What's the other income? What's the next we can get rid of or we can target that has a large effect, a very large effect on our income / ability? Put that one in the chat for me, folks. These are what I would call bad debts. And there's a bunch of them that really affect you. Your credit cards, some sort of personal debt, which has no income, no tax deductibility, those things like that. And over time, your principal place of residence, you're dead right, Kev, your PPR is one of those things that that you can reduce and it helps your income. So where can you get the income up? Where can you drop the expenses? The net outcome allows you to borrow more to get the next deal, folks. Okay. Now, if you want to be more proactive in this space, then that's what you can do. Okay. Let's have a bit of a look at this. What's the next part, which is what can you work on? What can you work on to get going with deposits? What can happen in the world of deposit? What things can we get up that can create the deposit? Well, number one, we can over time, depending on where you are with your ability to borrow and bits and pieces, the deposit, and this is kind of like a reverse trick question, if you borrow at 80% or 85% or 90%, that can have a large effect. A significant effect on those things. Yeah, access your equity. Many of us, I was chatting with some people on the weekend, sometimes are a little nervous to access deposits and equity in certain places, often in our principal place of residence. We've paid off our PPR, but I don't really want to use it for borrowing. And I understand the nervousness. But when I sort of have a chat to these people, I was like, well, listen, folks, where else are you going to get that stuff? Like, if you don't tap the equity, use the equity lock. Yeah, equity lock for sure. It's easier to borrow money when you don't need it than when you do. All right. I can tell you that one right now. Less stress, less pressure. Yeah, absolutely, Alison. It does get a bit nerve-wracking. You don't know what the future might look like, okay? One of the good things right now is we're fairly confident as a borrower that interest rates have reached their peak and they should be going down in the future, which is good news for us, for us all. Loan-to-value ratio, as you go. Yeah, you can add another person. Get a partner. Get a partner on there as you go along. I've done plenty of property deals, folks, in interim times where, you know, it was a bit slow for me, or I couldn't do a deal by myself, or the deal was a bit bigger than I wanted to chew off, so I would partner up with people. Get a partner in a deal. Now, you know, you might have two or three or four of your own deals, and you might have one with a partner or a joint venture partner or another investor. Those things work as well. But also too, team, there's ways, especially when you're, you know, got a medium to long-term view on your things. Many people are very good at saving. Now, it is a bit slower, and I prefer to save plus save extra, but plus put it in your offset, redraw facilities, depending on how you set it up, and then you can, you know, account for more as you go. So collect the ability for the deposit. You can get your loan-to-value ratios up. You can get access to equity, grab a partner, save some more money, whatever it might be in that sort of space, you know, as you go. And then away you go. Yeah, Jeff, like it. And sometimes, yeah, that's, and it's so true, mate, we're in this sort of space, you know, locking in your ability to borrow, you know, when those, in the cheap interest rate times, we're like, bloody hell, you'll never get this again. Crack on as much as you can. On the flip side of that, though, you've got to be really aware of, you know, when and if the, well, when, because it happens, interest rates go up and down. You know, if the interest rates go up and you know, you're caught short a bit, then you're in a bit of trouble. So, yeah, there you go. And Alison, you're dead right, Alison. Like, over time, you should have a target to get your income up over a 10-year period. If you get your income up, you know, over 10 years, 50 grand, 100 grand, whatever that like, you know, that ability to continue to purchase. I like that as well. What else can we do in deposit land, you know, to reduce things over in deposit land? You know, what can take away from that sort of stuff? Again, this is reducing expenses when it comes to deposits. You know, how can we get less of our cash going to other things? So connecting back to this, right? If you're reducing bad debts, then those expenses going down start to often, you know, go into savings or, you know, more practical places when it comes to creating a deposit. So getting some things up. And again, what expenses can we reduce? That helps us, you know, create the deposit. So what happens then if we've done that right? You know, we get to buy the next investment property, and then, you know, we should be understanding what can accelerate us along on that journey for the next deal, the next deal, the next deal. So get some things up, and then reduce some other things. But here's what I can tell you. Here's what I can tell you. Yeah, you're dead right over here. And that's another one, the deposit. Well, you know, the price of the property, the type of the property, the location, you know, maybe your budget allows you to buy a smaller apartment to get a smaller deposit. I've got a number of one-bedroom apartments in my portfolio. I've got a number of one-bedroom apartments in my portfolio, you know, and it allows me to keep moving forward, and they have their place in my strategy when it comes to certain locations, furnishing them, extra income, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's good. Great suggestion as we go. So, you know, how do we bust through that barrier, and then how do we then, you know, continue to crack on, you know, get these next few properties in the portfolio? Well, that's the stuff that we're talking about, you know, as you go. And, you know, folks, this is the drill, right? This is the drill. You know the drill. You know, it's certainly a, you know, a 0 to 15 plus year journey. I'm not talking about this being fast, but if you've got some you got some tactics and some strategies and some systems in place for you, to be able to continue to keep an eye on your properties, your equity, your income, your rents, and other bits and pieces. There you go. Tim, like in the right place, a furniture move is a fantastic move. I've just furnished a couple of my properties of recent times, and the premium has been fantastic for my cash flow and also the depreciation, Tim. Depreciation is fantastic. Really good. There you go. All right, folks. Well, that's it from me today. Hopefully that was useful. come and hang out tomorrow. We'll do another Wealth Coffee Chat tomorrow, folks. And remember, a couple of sayings around here, buy well, don't sell. Well, sometimes you might need to sell. And tonight, if you're up for mentoring, tonight we're going to do mentoring tonight, not Monday because there were some public holidays. We're going to talk about the income engine. I'm going to dive into the income engine at mentoring tonight. And we've got a guest coming along, Brendan. Maybe I'm having a bit of a mental blank. Brendan. He's going to talk about joint ventures, folks. So there you go. I think that's about it. Jeff said he's excited about June, and so am I, before I go, that, or July, actually. We've got a big catch-up in July, folks. First time in many years. We're going to do a physical conference to get together in July in the Gold Coast. You're all invited. It's very exciting for the Positive Crew. So make sure you keep an eye out for the dates. We're going to announce the official dates tonight at mentoring. So make sure you come along, lock that in. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. There you go. Anyway, I think that's it, Brennan. Anyway, I'm a bit cooked from 4 days of talking with the crew up in Brizzy. Had a great time. My brain is a little bit slow. All right, there you go, Brad. Good to see it, mate. Good to see you. Thanks, Alison. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, all of you, for joining this morning. That's it. I'm done. See you tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye.